there. Welcome to the North Shore Church Podcast. We are delighted that you've decided to take this step of faith and join us for the next few moments together as we explore one of the messages from our Sunday morning gatherings or special event given to you by one of our pastors or special guests. We trust that you can connect with us through the show notes or through our website, thenorthshore.church.
So we have been in a series talking about preparing today for tomorrow's promises. And we've entitled this series, Enlarge Your Tent, Prepare Today for Tomorrow's Promises. Over the past couple weeks, we've talked about creating a greater space and capacity for God to move in our lives, in our families, in our church, and even within our community. To prepare means to make room for something that hasn't arrived yet. Think about, you know, Thanksgiving is next weekend. I know, bonkers that we are that far into the year. But any of you who are hosting Thanksgiving or you're going somewhere for Thanksgiving, you prepare your home to have people in it. You go and you buy all the special things, the turkey, the ham, the stuffing, the special vegetables that you only cook at Thanksgiving, or maybe that was just my family. If you're going on a trip, you pack before you go. You do your research about where you're going to go, how long it's going to take to get there, when do you need to leave, what time are you going to get there by. When a family's preparing for a baby, they prepare the nursery before the baby comes. And so, in the same way, we today are preparing for God to move in our lives and around us. We're putting faith in action. And during this series, we've been rooted in the words of Isaiah 54, which starts out a little bit unexpected and a little bit unconventional. It starts out by saying in verse 1, "Sing, barren woman, you who have never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy." And we think, sing in a season where life hasn't come forth, it doesn't really make sense. And yet God commanded it because he's about to do something new. He's preparing the people's hearts for him to move. He's telling his people to praise before the blessing even comes. And then it goes on in verse 2 and says, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." What's powerful here is that God's telling his people to prepare for blessing before it arrives. Not when life is easy, not when they feel ready, but right after Isaiah 53, the chapter about the suffering servant where Isaiah foretells what's going to happen to Jesus, the life that he'll live, the death that he will die, and the work that he'll do. And God speaks this promise to people who are hurting, barren, broken, and empty. God says to them, get ready, make room, because I'm about to move. That's kind of what this series is all about, preparing today for tomorrow's promise. So let me encourage you this morning, right off the start, that if you're feeling empty, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like you're going through it right now, you're not alone. There's hope, and blessing is coming. And so this morning, we're going to focus on the idea of stretching your tent curtains and talk about this idea of stepping into uncomfortable places. Now, I am not as technology inclined the way Pastor Gary is, and so I do not have a handout for you this morning. We're kicking it old school. And let me just encourage you, God wants to speak to you this morning, so it could be worth your while to take notes. Not because I'm a great preacher, but because God downloaded some stuff this week. I don't know, looking to my saints in the room, when I don't know if this has ever happened to you, when you are reading your Bible, or you hear a message on Sunday, or you go to like a ladies' day or something. God speaks to you, or you read something, and then all of a sudden that week, you have to put that into action. And so this week, as I was preparing for a message entitled Stepping Into Uncomfortable Spaces, it felt like the Lord went, okay, let me give you some real life experience this week. Well, that wasn't enough. How about on Tuesday? How about on Wednesday? How about the next day and the next day and the next day? And so all week, the Lord has been testing me in this in a good way, in a good way, and stretching me So my hope is that as we go through today's message, as we read the word together, as we spend time with the Lord this morning, that you too would leave this morning, you as well would leave this morning feeling encouraged. All right, before I get ahead of myself, let's pray. I know we've prayed a lot today, and that's okay. God deserves it. So let's pray together. Gracious God, we just thank you again for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is alive and active, and that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you are speaking to us right now. God, as we look to this teaching time of our morning worship experience, may it not be my words, but may it be your voice on my lips, and may it penetrate hearts so that we would be prepared to go and do the things that you're calling us to. May it be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So in this picture that Isaiah is painting in verse 2, he's talking about expanding the dwelling place, the tent, where life happens. The curtains mark the outside walls, so by stretching them further, it meant taking up new territory and moving into a space that had not been claimed yet. Last week, Pastor Gary talked about increasing our capacity, allowing God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, and equipping us for what's to come. And so by stretching, this idea of stretching our reach goes hand in hand with this idea of increasing our capacity, because we're not just given the Holy Spirit merely to sit on it and go, oh, this is so nice. This is great for me. Love that for me. Because the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is meant to actually overflow out of us and affect the people that are around us, whether that's our family, whether that's our coworkers, whether that's our physical neighbors in the neighborhood, whether that's the kids, that one really annoying kid in the pickup line at school. I don't know. But it's the Holy Spirit isn't given to us just to make us feel good. Yeah, he does that. That's a part of his job. But we're filled with the Holy Spirit for it to overflow into the world around us. And so if you get nothing else from today's message, let it be this, that God did not design you to be a hermit. He designed you to live in community because he wants to work in you to positively impact the people around you. And that's the thing about God filling us to overflow. We're not meant to stay in that same shape. That's what Pastor Gary talked about last week. He wants to stretch us. He wants to grow us, kind of like a balloon. Brandon, this was why I had balloons in my hand. You can take the kids pastor out of kids ministry. You can't take the kids ministry out of the pastor. Sorry. So just like this balloon, hold on, I'm going to try and do this with, I got to put the mic down. All right. So we are the balloon, and God fills us with his Holy Spirit, and it's so good, isn't it? It's a pretty green balloon. This balloon has capacity. I fill it with air, and it has a job to do, right? I can tie a knot in it, I can stick it to the wall, it can be a pretty decoration for Thanksgiving or a birthday party. I could tie a string to it, I can give it to a kid and they can bat it around. I can draw a smiley face, I can make it look like Bella. Actually, a little bit more like Andrew. Andrew cut his hair this week. Looks good, buddy. Looks better than the green balloon. I'm not going to, although very tempted to. I can pull on the tab and make a really strange, funny noise. The kids would love that. I can even let it go. That was way less climactic than I planned. It's okay. Thanks, Bella. Get yourself some teenage friends. They're great. And just like when I initially blew it up, might be hard to see on camera, it changes shape, right? This is one that has not been inflated yet. This one has been stretched. And the same is true for us. When God fills us up, he stretches us. We overflow within capacity for the things that he wants us to do and the places he wants us to go and the words he wants us to speak. and it changes us. And that's kind of the point. Now, this analogy with a balloon isn't perfect, because as anyone who has ever blown up a balloon, you know that it, eventually that balloon's going to reach its capacity, and what's going to happen to it? Yep. It's going to make a very loud sound that I personally do not like. If you'd like to pop balloons, I have a whole bag. You're welcome to them. But that's for after church, not right now. But sometimes we look at our relationship with God and we have the same mentality that, well, I can only be stretched so far, God, or I'm going to break. And once I have reached my capacity, once I've been inflated once, or I've been filled up once by your Holy Spirit, well, that's good. I'm done. I've served my purpose. I'm good. You're done using me. We tell God that we've hit our limit and God is done with us. We can sit back, put our feet up, and just kick it till we get to heaven. We say things like, well, because my kids are all grown up, I'm done serving in kids' ministry. Or now that I'm over 30 or 40 or 50, or insert whatever age applies for you, I can't be a youth leader anymore. I'll leave that for the younger folks to do. Or I'm retired. All I can do now is serve coffee and toast bagels for men's breakfast. That's all I can do. But none of that is true. God wants to use us no matter what stage of life we're in. When he stretches us, he continues to mold us and shape us into different ways, regardless of how old we are, what our family structure looks like, how far you are in your career, or how much money you make. And it's not in my notes, but even the stage in our relationship with God, sometimes we think, well, because I'm a new Christian, that means I can't serve in this capacity. I'm going to leave that with you. Let the Lord do his thing. And let me just share with you for a moment a story about when I was a teenager, when I was about 15, 16, my favorite youth leader, her name was Miss Betty. She was somewhere in the range of her late 60s, early 70s. I say that because I know that past a certain age, you don't ask a woman how old she is. I was smart back then, sometimes. But here's the thing. Miss Betty wasn't actually a youth leader. She didn't come to our youth program Wednesday nights or Friday nights. She actually taught the pre-K class next door to my Sunday school class that I taught. As a 15-year-old who was newly saved, newly came to Jesus, had no idea what church was about, had no idea how to lead a kid's class, nothing. I was fresh as they come. But Miss Betty went out of her way every week, to not just give me a smile and go, oh, hi, dearie, how are you? She knew when we would go on youth retreats, because she read the bulletin. We don't have a church bulletin here. We have a bulletin board that tells us what's going on, and an announcement loop that tells us what's going on. But she would put it in her calendar, her old school little palm calendar and her purse calendar. The youth are on a retreat this weekend. So I know next week when Katie's teaching or the other youth are teaching, I'm going to go out of my way to find them before or after service. And I want to know, how was your youth retreat? How was your camping weekend? How was this spiritually intense service that was planned for youth that Friday night? And not just, oh, it was good. Well, what did God tell you? And let me just encourage you. She would go out of her way to reiterate what God was doing in our lives. And let me tell you, as a 15-year-old, that meant the world. Didn't think I was going to get emotional telling that story, but it's good. It's good. And then when I turned 18, I decided, you know, kids ministry, I'm done. God, I've reached my capacity with kids ministry. I'm done. I'm going to teach the junior high class now. And very similar to how we do our kids programs here, where the kids are with us during worship and then they go downstairs. That wasn't the case. Our kids in that church would start downstairs and they got picked up downstairs and went right out the door because there was like a lot. But our junior highs, because we were teaching them how to be adults, we would have them upstairs during the service, which meant my job didn't start until after worship. So guess where I would go hang out on Sunday mornings when I was waiting for my junior highs to come downstairs to their classroom? Miss Betty's room. And sometimes I would be helpful. Sometimes I would help prep crafts or I would get snack ready for them. But most of the time, Miss Betty just wanted to sit and chat. She would still be a fantastic kids leader. She would still pay attention and know every single kid by name. She knew if they got a haircut that week or they had a birthday. And let me tell you, if it was their birthday that week, she had a handwritten card for them and a little something from the dollar store. Miss Betty made such an impact on a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 18-year-old's life that I'm still talking about it. So let that be an encouragement to you that regardless of where you are in life, you can still be used by God. You can still be stretched out of your comfort zone. You can still step into uncomfortable spaces. We could just end church right there, couldn't we? We're not going to, sorry. Now, all of this sounds really great. Like, we got to play with balloons. I got to sort of launch a balloon at you, and it didn't quite pan out the way I had hoped. That was lovely. But I would actually be doing you a massive disservice if I failed to acknowledge the one major flaw with this stretching process. Stretching is not comfortable. It means moving beyond our comfort zone and what's easy for us. It means journeying into the unknown. It means taking on ministries and responsibilities that we've never carried before. It means being vulnerable and inviting people into our homes, into our life, into our church that are different than us. A lot of times it means saying yes to God before knowing all of the details. We as a church, as a body of believers, we are preparing for a season of immeasurable blessing. That means that we need to be ready to be stretched and challenged beyond our current capacity. And to do that, there are three things we need to do. Excuse me. Gotta wipe away my Miss Betty tears. Hold on. All right, three things that we need to start doing if we're going to be ready for God to stretch us and move us into some uncomfortable spaces. The first thing is tune in. Say, tune in. That means listen for the sound of God's voice. The second thing is step up. Say, step up. We need to move with faith. And the third and final thing is we need to move out. Say, move out. Oh, we don't like that one as much. That's okay. You will. And that means to go and do what God has called us to go and do. So let's jump into that first point. The first thing that we need to do is tune in. Say, tune in. Means to listen for God's voice. We need to position ourselves, if we're going to know where God's calling us to go, we need to position ourselves to hear from God. Obviously, we can't decipher, oh, God is telling me to go talk to my neighbor versus, well, I just have a new neighbor and I think that they seem really fun. Or maybe they don't seem really fun, they don't seem really cool, and I don't want to be their neighbor. If we're going to know what God is calling us to do, then the first thing we should do is to spend time with Him. When you're faced with a challenge and you're not sure what to do or what direction to go, whose voice do you listen to? Jesus or the world? Because the world will tell you to follow your heart. Jesus says to follow Him. The world will tell you to believe in yourself. That's so nice. But Jesus says, believe in me. The world will tell you to be true to yourself. Jesus says, if we are His disciples, to deny ourselves and our selfish ambitions. The world will tell you to believe in your own truth. What's true for you can be true for you, but not necessarily true for me. But Jesus says that He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. The world says, do whatever makes you happy. Jesus says, what will a person profit if they gain the whole world? Can have everything money can buy, big house on the top of the hill. They gain the whole world, but they lose their soul. God says to pursue him, to love him with all of our heart, soul, body, mind, and strength. His word says to trust the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Not because God wants us to be miserable little gremlins, but he sees the bigger picture of what our life is meant to be. He knows where a road bent towards self will lead us. And it's not good. It's empty. It's unsatisfying. It's temporary, and it leaves us wanting more and more. But a life that is in constant pursuit of God's plans and purposes leads to a life of abundant blessing. The greatest decision that you could make this morning, whether you are in the room or whether you're online, is to follow God. But how do we know what God is calling us to do if we don't know how God speaks to us? This past week, I asked our junior highs. We were talking about how when God gives you a dream, that he is faithful to follow through with it. And so the conversation led in a direction of, well, how do you know when it's God telling you, I want you to go do this, or I'm giving you this dream, versus, like, my dream, I want to go to Disneyland. And maybe that's of God. Maybe God has a plan for me to go there and meet somebody. And in that moment of standing in line for a ride, I get to share the gospel with them, and they have this eye-opening experience, and they come to know Jesus, and they go on to be one of the greatest evangelists in all of time. Maybe. But how do I know if that dream to go to Disneyland is of God? So I asked our young people, keep in mind, these are 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, okay? And I might note, quite a lot of them are community kids. They're not church kids, okay? These are their answers. They said that God speaks to them through things like worship, or he talks to me when I pray and I ask him for direction. He speaks through trusted friends, leaders, mentors in their lives. They said that sometimes it's a gentle nudging towards a good choice that they know honors God because they've heard about it at youth or at church or at a retreat. And then when they follow through on that choice, there is an overwhelming sense of peace that they are when they make that choice. But above all of that, they said, the Bible. If the thing they feel God is telling them to do lines up with what he's previously told them in the Word of God, then they know, then I know, we know. That's God. And I don't know about you, but if I am going to take the leap of faith and I'm going to step into uncomfortable places, then I want to be 110% certain that it's God telling me to go there and not myself. And certainly not the enemy. Because if I follow my pride or my ego, or I follow the enemy who's trying to pull me away from God, I'm going to go in the opposite direction of what God wants for me. And I know it's going to fail, and I'm going to land flat on my face. If what you're feeling led to do lines up with what's written in the Bible, if it spreads the gospel, if it brings you or someone else closer to Jesus, then it's probably God. Because Satan doesn't want us or people or any of God's creation to be close to God. He tries with every lie and piece of deceit that he can spit out to pull people away. And so if what God is telling you to do is going to bring somebody that little bit closer, that little nudge closer to Jesus, that step closer to Jesus, you're probably safe to go ahead and do it. Satan wants us to live in fear and hesitation, but God did not give us a spirit of fear and humiliation. He gave us one of sound mind, like it says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. When we find ourselves in a place where we are tuned in to the sound of our Heavenly Father's voice, it makes it just a little bit easier to move into the uncomfortable. When we know that God is the one leading us, we know that he already has it taken care of. The second thing that we need to be prepared with, prepared for when we are moving into uncomfortable spaces, is we need to be ready to step up. Say, step up. Oh, say it like we're still living, church. Step up. That's better. Thank you. Just making sure you're awake. Otherwise, I'll launch more balloons at you. I won't do that. Maybe. No. The next thing we need to do in order to move into uncomfortable spaces is to step up in faith. It's this idea of having unwavering trust in God. Now, faith isn't based on situational evidence. That means it doesn't change whether we've had a good day or a bad day, whether there's lots of zeros or only one big fat zero in our bank account. It isn't based on what we know in the moment. Hebrews 11 verse 1, don't mix that up, says that faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we cannot see. In other words, it's understanding that God ultimately has control over our lives and remains in control. Nothing's going to change that. We know that God takes care of his children, you and I. It's knowing that if he calls us forward into the unknown, then he's already there and he has the details figured out. And if you read on after verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 11, it's almost like a hall of fame of people who trusted God. And you'll see this long but also condensed list of people in the Bible, people in history who trusted God, they moved into their own uncomfortable spaces, and then they watched God do incredible things in them and through them. And this passage of scripture was recorded as a way to encourage believers in the first century church. It's as if to say, hey, look at all of these people that came before you who believed in God, they put their trust in God, and they were all right. They took action, and God showed up. And he did an incredible work in them and them. And in the same way, when we are willing to put our trust in God and willing to go where he calls us, he will do the same for us. After all, did Jesus not say in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33, to seek first his kingdom and everything else will follow afterwards? And right before that, Jesus talks about how while our Heavenly Father provides for the plants of the earth and the birds of the air and the lilies of the valley and clothes them with such beauty, he cares so much more for us, for you and I, his people. And in that same chapter, it goes on to say that God would care for us far more abundantly. We just need to seek him and his will above all else. If we believe that all of that is true, church, then we have every reason to put our confidence and our complete trust in God. We have a hope that God will provide for us whatever we need. Right after this Hall of Fame passage in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, it goes on in verse 1 and 2 to say, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. The world is watching, church. And so as this verse says, we ought to throw off the things that are holding us back from following God. Because when we do that, when we choose to fix our eyes on Jesus, in spite of the circumstances around us, incredible things are going to happen. When we choose to fix our eyes on the one who holds us in his hand and remains in control, then the world will see just how faithful our God is. They will see that he is the true source of joy and comfort. They will see him as our provider and protector, our strength and our shield, just as scripture names him to be. Stepping up in faith means that we are throwing off distractions. We're leaving hesitation behind. It means that we're making a conscious choice every minute of every hour of every day to put our trust in the Lord, in spite of the circumstances around us, in spite of all of the reasons we have to not trust God. That's what faith is. It means fixing our attention on Jesus. He is the pioneer, the one who started this work in us, and the perfecter, the one who continues to work in us, stretching us, challenging us, and leading us through God's plans and purposes for our lives. Now, I know this sounds very cheerful, hopeful. Yay, let's just trust Jesus. I get it. Believe me, I do. After this week, I get it. That stepping into uncomfortable places, there's this natural fear and uncertainty. But that's where faith comes in. Look how God has been faithful in the past, in your life, in the lives of the people around you. You want testimonies? I'll hand the mic over, and I'm sure we could go around this room of all the ways that God has been faithful and shown up before in our lives. However, we would be here till 3 o'clock, and I don't think you want that. Not today, maybe another day. But this is why testimonies are so powerful, because we recognize that if he was faithful then, if God was faithful in that person's life or faithful in my life before, he's going to be faithful again. He's going to come through. And he will see his plan through until completion. So, we've come to a place, if we've come to a place where we are tuned into the voice of God, say tuned in. We know the spaces and places he's calling us. And if we can step up, say step up, in faith, then we are confident of the one who has proven to be faithful to us again and again and again. That brings us to the third and final step of moving into uncomfortable places. And that is to move out. That means to go and do what God is telling us to do. I heard someone say the move out. I see you. So this is the part of the message where it gets real, where the rubber meets the road. It's all nice when Pastor Katie has the mic and she's reading scripture and this is, oh, it's just so nice. It's so lovely. But now we are moving towards going home, going back to work, going back to our families, going back to our neighbors, the people that drive us bonkers, the uncomfortable places. And we have a choice to make. Will we choose to follow God in obedience? And we don't always like that word. Or will we linger on the edge a little bit longer? And I get it. It's natural to have reservations when God asks us to move into uncomfortable places. There are some things that God is calling Brandon and I to. And like I said earlier, this week, just at the start of the weekend, Friday night, got some news about some things, and it's almost like the dominoes aren't lining up. We're relying on the dominoes to get to here, and the first domino isn't even set in the right spot. And I found myself Friday night going, God, like, I'm confident that you are calling Brandon and I into this season of leadership and ministry. We're not going anywhere, by the way. We're staying here before the rumor mill starts. And God, I see the end goal, or sort of the end goal, but in order to get there, God, like, this needs to happen, and this needs to happen, and this needs to happen, and we're already off to a bad start. God, how is this going to work? I mean, what about this? What about this? What about, and the list of what ifs just started to grow. And then there was the still small voice of the Lord saying, well, do you trust me? And I had to get on my face, and I had to repent, and I had to bring it to the foot of the Lord and say, yep, I do. I'm preaching on it on Sunday. I hope I do. Because in order to get to domino number 25, I got to trust you with domino number one, that you're going to line up this piece and then the next piece and the next piece to get to what you've called us to. But that's the beauty in all of this, right? Moving into uncomfortable spaces really requires one thing of us, and that is simply to say yes and to follow through. You see, moving into uncomfortable spaces means putting our full reliance on God to come through. There is no plan B, C, or D. It is Jesus all the way. Doesn't matter if we feel qualified or ready. Doesn't matter if it costs us something. It doesn't matter what we lose along the way, because God will fill in the gaps. He will meet our every need. As I was writing this message for this morning, I was reminded of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10. Now, I didn't write down the version, that is my bad, but I believe this is the Amplified version, because it gets a little sassy. And if you've known me at all, you know that I'm a little sassy. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10. This is Paul speaking. God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will," this is Paul now speaking, "therefore, I will be all the more gladly, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. So I am well pleased with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength." When we follow God into unfamiliar territory and we're forced to rely on God to get us through, it ensures that God alone gets the glory. Because if there's any effort that we can put in, any strength that we might have, any part that I can say, well, that was me, God. I did that part. Then what's the point? It takes even a fraction of the spotlight off of Jesus. God wants us to be fully reliant on him, and in doing so, he alone gets the honor and the glory that he's due. Now, for some of you, moving into uncomfortable spaces looks like engaging in church life. It means coming through the doors instead of watching online. And I understand. There are some friends. We prayed for Brenda. I know Glory's another one. There are often friends who can't physically be here. I understand that. We love you. We pray for you. We are so glad that you are an extension of our church online. But I also know that there are many people who are hesitant to step foot inside the building, because then it gets real. Then they actually have to look us in the eyes and engage in conversation and have to take ownership of what they believe. So maybe what's uncomfortable is coming into the building. But you are always welcome here. You are always wanted here. As Gary says, everybody always. Maybe it means praying out loud for the first time. I think it was Tammy. Yeah, it was you. It was you. It was a few months ago. We're standing at the back and we're praying, and Pastor Gary encouraged everyone. He said, you know, you're in a safe space. Just feel free, even if it's just, hey God, thanks for my family, thanks for my brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever it is. And Tammy turns to me and goes, "I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do." And I'm like, "Tammy, it's good. You don't have to. But if you do, like, there's grace. There's grace. We love you. We're happy you're here." And I don't even remember what you prayed, but I remember you looking at me after and went, "Did I do good?" I'm like, "You did fantastic." Maybe stepping into the uncomfortable looks like praying out loud for the first time. Maybe it means believing that God can do something in your life and trusting him. Maybe it means inviting him into your heart for the first time and seeing what this whole Christianity is all about. For some of you, uncomfortable looks like leaving your old life behind. It means diving headfirst into all that God has for you. It means repentance, this idea of turning away, a 180 turn from your old way of life. It means burning your idols, the things that you run to for comfort instead of turning to the Lord. Maybe it means a little bit of embarrassment as people see you act differently than you did before you met Jesus. Maybe it means sacrifice, that you can't go back to those places or hang out with those people that you used to. Because by being there, by having those unhealthy relationships, it only fosters habits that pull you away from God. For others, uncomfortable looks like forgiveness, letting go of the hurt that someone has caused you. Maybe it looks like sharing your faith with someone. Maybe uncomfortable looks like getting involved in a longer-term commitment in church, not just helping at an event here or there. And don't get me wrong, if that's all that your schedule allows you to do, we are more than grateful that you are part of our church and a part of our family serving in that way. But maybe it means starting that small group, creating a prayer ministry, teaching in kids' church, becoming a youth leader. I just told a story about Miss Betty, who was the best youth leader, who wasn't even a youth leader. Maybe it means joining the worship team so that we don't have to do lyric videos when Pastor Gary and Elizabeth aren't here and Greg's not here. Maybe. And so many other things that I can't even begin to name, because that's not for me to know. It's for you and God to figure out. Now, while I have the microphone, let me just encourage you that if you want to grow in your faith, if you want to be challenged in your faith, speaking from personal experience as the 15-year-old who newly got saved and immediately got thrown into teaching children's church, surround yourself with young people, whether it's kids, whether it's teenagers, whether it's junior highs. They will challenge you. They will stretch you to your limits. All of the fruit of the Spirit we learned about this summer, you will have to put them into practice double-fold, particularly patience. However, you'll walk away with your heart so full in ways you can never imagine. A moment ago, I talked about our junior high kids. And we've been running youth for 3 weeks, a little bit before, like earlier in the year, but for this school year, we've been running youth for 3 weeks. And in 3 weeks, we are seeing kids, a shift happen in them. Yeah, they come to program because there's games and there's candy and all this excitement and craziness. But we're teaching them to move into their own uncomfortable and find joy in our time of teaching, in worship, in small groups, and talking about the Word of God. And in 3 weeks, we are seeing eyes opened. We're seeing hearts softened. Kids that were from the community that this time last year went home and told their parents, yeah, youth group's not my thing. It's too Jesus-y. On Wednesday night, I asked them, how do you know when God's speaking to you? Well, the Bible. That verse that you have put up on the screen, Pastor Katie, yeah, that one. That verse says that it was the verse out of Joel 2, that God will pour out his Spirit on all people. And he said, I know God loves me because it says all people, men and women, young and old. So that means me, right? I'm like, okay, we can just end small group right now. I'm good. I'm going to go have a little cry in my office with Jesus because this is just so good. But I'm serious. Our kids ministry, I know we're a little light today, but I can show you our attendance over the last few weeks. We've gone from having anywhere from 6 to 8 kids on a Sunday to over 10 almost every single week. We are bursting at the seams for our little church. And if I'll take a picture next time, we are cramming those kids on a little carpet so that they can hear the Word of God, so they can do crafts, they can sing songs, they can get to know Jesus. They're asking the right questions as they discover who Jesus is and why our relationship with him is so important. And I know that working with young people, with kids, and with teenagers isn't the only way that God can stretch you. But I know that requires us to tune into his voice. And then when we are confident that God is saying, go and do, we're willing to move, step up in faith, put our complete trust in him. God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm willing and I'm ready. And then when God presents the opportunity to go and do, we are obedient and we move into those uncomfortable spaces at all costs, knowing that God is already there. He's already prepared the way. So what do we have to lose?